Well, we're going to spend a little more time today in God's Word concerning the subject of prayer. Last week I shared on the power of prayer, and I'd like to kind of continue that. And on the power of prayer, on the subject of God hears our prayers, and it is something that He does do. And twice He said in the manifestations to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And that's a great part of knowing about prayer. If we pray to God, He's interested in our concerns and does care for us. It's not like we're talking to the hand, and it all looks better to talk to the hand. I don't want to hear you. He does want to hear from us. And so we ended last week on James chapter 5. I'd like to look at that verse again. A very, very familiar verse of scripture to us, and so true. It's true whether we're familiar with it or not. It was true long before we were born. But James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And we looked at the last week on the two words, effectual, fervent. It's one Greek word, and it's the Greek word energeo, and it means to be operative or active operation, to be at work. And the working translation translated it as energized. And then the working translation has that part of the verse as, "The energized prayer request of a just person avails much." And the word avail means to prevail. So it's obvious that there's some power in prayer, and it's obvious that it does stuff. And we looked at some examples of what stuff it did. And so I'd just like to look at a few more things. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 4. Or Psalm 4, rather than that. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That energized prayer brings, prevails. And a good question to ask is, why do these prayers avail much? Why is it that when we speak to God, something happens? And part of the reason is that He hears us. when we're praying or mumbling or whatever, He's here. He's listening. It's not like we're by ourselves in this thing, by ourselves or with our spouse, living life with our spouse and other people we know, and our prayers just go to nowhere. They go to our Heavenly Father, to God Almighty. We do have a God who is powerful. He's almighty. And so His prayers go to, our prayers go to Him. He's not deaf. Some of us may have to hear it a couple times before we actually hear it, but God hears it the first time. He's not deaf. He's not on vacation. He's not sleeping. He's not anything but attentive. He's not distracted. So Psalm 4, we're just going to read a few of these psalms. Verses, and just it keeps saying the same thing. Verse 1, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Psalm 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Chapter 7, Psalm 17, verse 6. "I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech." What a desire for that individual to have. And we have that same desire ourselves. Let's go to Psalm 54. I'm only picking a couple that are in here. There are so many verses that deal with God hearing our prayers or inclining His ear or bowing His ear down. you know, putting his ear right to our lips. There's a verse that talks about that. 54, verse 2. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Imagine asking God to listen up. You know, but he loves that. He loves that. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Psalm 82, 88. Psalm 88. Verse 2. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry. And lastly, Psalm 102. Verse 7.
Maybe
102.
Did I say
102?
You said 102.
Yeah. Let me
wait. Maybe verse 1?
It should be verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's verse
1.
It is verse 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and thank you, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. We're like that every day. We just ask God for stuff, to take care of certain things that are beyond our ability. And to know that he hears us is a very comforting thing to realize, to recognize. I remember the first time praying before I knew God's word, it was that I could learn the word of God. And I remember it was right before I went to college, and I said, God, if you're up there, I just want to know about what the Bible says, you know, what the Bible says. I knew there was some type of connection, but I didn't know what the Bible said. And you know, I wasn't brought up to pray. I knew people did it, and I've heard formal prayers and stuff like that, but it wasn't part of my life at all. And at first I felt awkward, you know, but it didn't take long to change that. But, you know, I just offered my heart up to God. And to know that he is going to listen. You ever hear people pray, God, if you're up there, I'm here, I got something to tell you. If you're up there, maybe you'll be listening. We don't have to have that question. He definitely listens. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. Jesus Christ talked about the temple, which was something that God had wanted to have built. And it was built a place, because God kept saying in the Old Testament, he was going to pick a place where his name would be and his presence would be. And it was built, and Jesus Christ refers to it as the house of prayer. Chapter 19, verse 45, this is a few days before he was crucified, and he goes into the temple to cleanse it and get it ready. And in verse 45, he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. And what he had seen was a lot of devilish stuff. It wasn't so much that things were being sold in the temple, but they were selling second-rate things for as if they were first-rate. And they were selling sacrifice animals to sacrifice, but they were blemished. And the law was that they were supposed to be without blemish. And it was just corrupt. So he says that to him. Or says some things to him. And then verse 46, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You know, they were changing the use of that building for something far less better than what God had intended it. And we're going to look a little bit about that building. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It was more than just a building. It was a place where God's name was, and it was a place where God's presence was, and it was a place where God's people could pray and have God hear them. Second Chronicles, chapter 6. And God, it was in David's heart to build this temple. And God said, no, you're not going to build it. Your son will build it. So David got all the materials ready, all the stuff, so that Solomon could do what he did. And this is the dedication of this, of that temple. This is the first temple. And in Second Chronicles 6, verse 12, it says, and he, this is referring to Solomon, this is the day of the dedication, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. 3 cubits is about 18 inches thereabout. So it was a platform in the middle of the court where all these people were standing. And we're going to look at chapter 6, verse 19, and read some of this record. It's just look at the heart of Solomon's prayer. And they're praying really together. And the things that Solomon is asking God to do in for this temple, which was in accord with what God wanted in this temple. And in verse 19, he's praying, and it says, have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. You know, to hear this prayer. That thine eyes may be open unto this house day and night upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. You know, some guy screws it up, and he comes and brings that petition to you. Don't ignore it. And this is a very popular verse that's used many times in context. Fortunately, verse 24. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make application before thee in this house, and hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given unto thy people for the inheritance. If therefore, or if there be dearth in the land, and if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of the land, whosoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou givest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, and for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee, that all people of the earth may know thy name, and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by name by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies, by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and of the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward thy house, the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Remember, this is a dedication to this temple, where God wanted people to pray to him. Now therefore arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now in the Old Testament, when there was a sacrifice, the way that God answered it and was proof that he was answering the prayer, the people didn't have to light the fire for the sacrifice. Fire came down from heaven, and so he gets done praying, and the fire of the Lord comes down and consumes that sacrifice. It's like, you know, he just made a lot of prayer requests and saying, whatever the circumstances, when our people, your people, even strangers, come to this place or even towards this place and pray, hear them and answer their prayer. And this was his answer back. And it says, the glory of the Lord filled the house. We have never experienced that. That was not just a building. That was a building the glory of the Lord filled. That's something that's just amazing. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We may say, holy shit. Or, you know, just
amazing to be part of that. To be part of where they're all praying together. It's being led by Solomon in prayer, but look what God did. And then later, in the same section, chapter 7, where we are, God speaks to Solomon about this. And verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send the pestilence among the people, if my people, this is the verse that I meant earlier that is often quoted, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attentive or attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, you walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods, and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and byword among all nations, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. So he shows both sides of the fence.
You know, really does.
But he said, I'll answer those prayers, which is really wild. I just want to look at a little record in Daniel. Here's an example of exactly what Solomon was praying that day of dedication. That if people get, you know, get taken away to other countries, because of the sin of the people, and they pray towards this temple, towards this city, that you would hear them and answer their prayer. And, well, as we know, Solomon didn't stay faithful towards the end of his life, which is just unbelievable, but he didn't. And then all those kings, on and off, some were great, loved God, walked with God, and others were evil, but it came a point in Jeremiah's day and time that he kept warning, you know, you guys got to come back to God, and eventually they lost their country. They lost their country, the temple was ruined. We read a little bit about that last week with Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah's heart was to go back there and help rebuild that thing, which he did. But here's Daniel. During that 70-year period where they were cast out of Israel, they lost their country. He's taken as a captive, very talented man, taken as a captive and ended up as one of the rulers of the Assyria. And in verse 10, chapter 6. We read it a little bit last week about they didn't like Daniel because he was doing so well and he wasn't corrupt and taking bribes and going along with all the corruption. So they tried to get rid of him, and they found out he was clean, squeaky as you get, and the only thing to get him on is his prayer. And so they arranged it where he would get caught praying. And here's verse 10. This is when Daniel heard about it. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so this is, they're just trying to set him up to get killed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So every day he prayed, he opened up those windows and prayed toward Jerusalem. Solomon said, hey, if our people are taken away and they pray towards this city, towards this temple, please hear them. Mm. Pretty wild. Mm. And here's Daniel, many years later, praying towards that temple. Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And he knew that God would hear his prayer. He absolutely knew it. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning his king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man should ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, oh, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day, kneeling towards Jerusalem. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He realized he had been duped, and that he signed something he shouldn't have signed it, wish he didn't sign it, but he did sign it. He couldn't change it, even as the king. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know thou, king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. No, you can't do this now. Mm. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Mm. And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now do you think Daniel, once he was lowered into that lion's den, prayed unto God, hey, maybe you can keep me alive here? I'm sure he prayed. Yeah, wouldn't you? Yes. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and he slept, and his sleep went from him. Sure, he screwed up. He got deceived, and now he might be responsible for this wonderful man, Daniel's death. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him. I guess so. And commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Just wonderful. You know, So Solomon prays in the dedication, hey, even if somebody has been taken out, we lose everything, and they're praying from their foreign country, and they pray towards this place, hear their prayer. And here's an example. God heard Daniel's prayer, and Daniel knew about that. And lastly, we're going to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Prayer is just such a big thing, and we know that God does hear us. Not everybody realizes that. I mean, there are a lot of Christians that have a heart to pray, love God, but really don't understand much about God's word and how God works. And they're like, God, I hope you're hearing me, or please hear me. And it's sad that they don't have an understanding, but they're still praying. And God still hears whether the child of God is uncertain or not, or whether they're hearing. He's hearing. He still hears it. Chapter 12, a commandment to God's people, the Christians, believers in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And that's something that God wants us to do. The word, the two words, continuing instant, basically means to persist in a thing, to persevere, to wait upon constantly, to give present attention to. You know, it's just to be the fabric of our life, where we're just constantly going to God in prayer for things. Things in our own life, things in other people's lives, things in our world, in our country, the things around us. It's just in the fabric of our lives. And it's likened unto, I'm going to go there, you can just listen to it. It's likened unto the heart of it, the idea that persistence is in Psalm 123, and it's about the servant and the master relationship. Psalm 123, verse 2. It says, behold, as the eyes of the servant look upon, or look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he hath mercy upon us. You know, that attentive looking, that perseverance. And of course, the Orientalism here is the way they served. The servant was supposed to serve the master, and the master wasn't supposed to say, hey, can I have your attention over here? It's like you ever go to a restaurant and the waitress or waiter is just like not with it, and you constantly have to, hey, I'm over here. All the master or the maiden or whatever had to do is just move their hand a little bit. It was a signal to that person waiting that, okay, you got to come over here and deal with this, whatever it is. That attentiveness, we're constantly looking to God. You know, we don't have to have a ball bat head us over the head to say, oh, maybe I should pray about this. You know, so it's a persistent thing. So some stuff just doesn't look like it's going to turn, but it can. You know, I don't understand why some things take longer than others, but it's persistence that really is a helpful part of the prayer. You know, George Mueller, a wonderful example to us, great believer from the 1800s, he said part of God's people's problems is when they pray to give up too early. The persistence in prayer. It's a great key to receiving, because some stuff doesn't come right away. But that persistence, just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. We've all seen that stuff. I'm very humbled by the people that I'm around. You guys, are such wonderful, persistent prayers. I get inspired and reproved a lot of times. It's just a great part of our lives, and to be a part of our very fabric. Living with Susan, she prays a lot. I am just so often baffled at how much she prays for things. I'm very thankful to be
her husband, and she gets to pray for me a lot. First, she knows up close and personal. I'm a good reminder to her that I need prayer. But, you know, we help each other with this. But it's just a great thing. So God does hear our prayers, and one reason why the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's a God in heaven that's powerful, and he's listening.